want to look at our passage for today, and I was picturing myself in that story with Abraham and imagining what it would be like if I were sitting in the doorway of my house and I looked out and saw three strangers standing by the trees outside my house. How would I respond? Would I shut the doors and kind of peek behind the curtain and wonder what they do? Or would I rush out and say, hey, come on in. I've got some steaks I've been saving in the freezer, but let's get those out. Christine, could you bake some bread up? Let's really put out, get the china out. Come on in and sit down. Is that how we would respond to strangers passing by? Probably not. But here's this story in the book of Genesis and what it looks like. And so Genesis chapter 18. And so where are we in the story of the Bible? God has created the world and he has placed people into it and people have rebelled against him. People have chosen to go their own way. And then in the 12th chapter of Genesis, God comes to a man named Abram and says to Abram, through you, I'm going to bless the world. Through you and your family, I'm going to initiate this plan to bring about redemption, to change history, to bring about the creation, and to make things the way I want them to be. And so he makes promises to Abram. He says to Abram, I'm going to give you a land to live in. Because Abram was a wanderer. He says, I'm going to go and I'm going to take you to a new land. I'm going to put you in a new land. He said, I'm going to give you a son. And not only am I giving you a son, I'm going to give you descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as the sand on the seashore. You are going to be the father of nations. Not only that, I am going to bless you. And through you, all the nations on earth will be blessed. And so he makes this promise to Abram in chapter 12. And then chapters 13 through 17, there's all kinds of different things goes on. He goes with his nephew Lot. They kind of choose their way. One goes one way, one goes the other. They settle in their land. There's a point in Genesis chapter 15 where God renews his promise to Abram. And he comes to him and there's this bizarre scene, chapter 15, where Abram takes some animals and he cuts the animals in half and puts them on. And there's this smoking torch and this pot that passed through between those. And Abram's in a dream. And it's all kind of strange, but it's a renewal of this promise, this covenant that God has made to Abram. This renewal of these three promises of a land to live in, of descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and of blessing and being a blessing through. Then there's a war, a battle that goes on. Chapter 17 comes along. God renews this promise again. But Abram and Sarai at this point aren't so sure because now there's a whole lot of time has passed. It's been years since God has made this promise to Abram and Sarah. And when God made it to Abram and Sarah, they didn't have any kids. And so in order to be the father of nations, what does that require? Children, right? And so they're looking around and they're getting older. They're up in their 80s and 90s at this point and thinking, something's not happening here. So they have this idea. They said, well, there's a maidservant, Hagar. And so why don't you, Abram, why don't you go and take her and we'll have a son through him. And they have a son through him, but that's just kind of a mess. And that doesn't work out so well. And so now we come to this scene in chapter 18. And there's a lot that goes on and it ties into this bigger story of the Bible. It ties into the story of that God's promises will not fail. That even when he makes a promise to an old man that he's going to have a child and be the father of a nation, that it will not fail. Even when people go off and run off their own way and try and fix things, doing things their way instead of God's way, it will work. In the midst of all those things, this is what happens. But I don't want to talk, we could spend a lot of time on that, but I want to focus on one part of the story in which Rick has alluded to as he read the scripture. And this is the idea of hospitality. The story of hospitality. It's not the main point of the story, but you heard in the book of Hebrews this reference that some who have entertained or welcomed or showed hospitality to strangers have entertained or welcomed or showed hospitality to angels unaware. And so most people understand that to be a reference to this story from the book of Genesis. But if you wonder, if you think, well, this is just one verse. I wonder, three other passages really briefly from the New Testament. These are Paul writing to the churches and saying, this is what I want leaders in the church to be like. This is from 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. And then in chapter 5, He's talking about the widows. He says, no widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the Lord's people, helping those in trouble. Now, in case you've forgotten, then in the book of Titus, chapter 1, again, Paul talking to the leaders, he says, since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good. In other words, isn't it interesting that when the church was forming, when God's plan, when Jesus had been crucified and risen and he appoints people to say, you are going to be my people. You are going to be the ones through whom the earth is blessed. You are going to be the ones who continue on this promise that was made to Abraham, that through you the nations will be blessed. That one of the criteria as they were picking leaders was people who showed hospitality. I mean, usually, when what are the criteria we use when we're picking leaders of the church? Usually, they're willing. That's like, I mean, that's the main criteria. Like, somebody who will say yes. That's, and beyond that, oftentimes, we don't pay a whole lot of attention to it. We just want anybody, right? They've got a pulse. They're willing. We're good. But here it's saying hospitality is one of the critical elements of being a leader, of being a part of the church. And so let's go back in the story and see what it looks like. So we're in Genesis chapter 18. And it starts off, it says, the Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, which if you read back in chapter 13, that's where we know Abraham settled, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. It says, Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. Now all of a sudden you're saying, wait a minute. It says, who appeared to Abraham? The Lord. And then he looks up and what does he see? Three men. So which is it? Is it the Lord or is it three men? And there are lots of pages, lots of ink spilled over trying to figure this out. But essentially what we see is that somehow these three men represent the presence of God. That in some way it represents, so it's God, but it's these men. But what's interesting, Abraham has had appearances of God before. He's had this scene where God comes and speaks to him and tells him about the stars and the sand. He's had this appearance with the animals and the smoking torch. He's had this other renewal. And every time, Abraham knew who he was talking to. This time, though, seems a little different. So Abraham's there at it's the heat of his day, and he's at the door of his tent. Why? Because you don't want to be out in the sun. But he's kind of sitting there, and he sees three men. And the narrator kind of clues us in and says, this isn't just three strangers. This is somehow the representation of the presence of the Lord. So Abraham rushes out, and we have to understand what it looked like to show hospitality in the ancient Near East. So back in the days of Abraham, so we're talking 2,000 years ago is Jesus, 1,500 years roughly before that is Abraham. And so he's there, and there was no Airbnb, no Motel 6. So if you were a stranger, a traveler, and this is most of the time what it was, people traveling through a land, you relied on what? The hospitality of people who were passing through the area you were in. So hospitality wasn't primarily inviting your neighbor over. Hospitality was more about strangers, people from foreign countries, people from distant lands, people you have no connection with, who were passing through, and there wasn't always water, there wasn't always food, and so as a traveler, as a stranger, you relied on the hospitality of people to care for you. And so they go out, Abraham goes out, and I want you to notice what he does. First, we alluded to this earlier when I said, set this scene in your own mind, is imagine seeing three strangers sitting out by the tree, and most of you said, well, I'd call the police, right? At least lock my door. Why is that? Fear? Different times, a little bit of safety, saying, well, I don't know. And it is different times. It's all these things. But Abraham goes out, in some sense takes a risk, right? Because he knows nothing about who these strangers are. They could be marauders. They could be robbers. There's nothing that says they couldn't be somebody eager to take advantage of him or to take his land, to take his goods, to take his family. And so he goes out, he risks himself, and he comes out and he says, come on in. He says, now let a little water be brought, and then we may wash your feet. And so he's offering at first just this minimal hospitality, saying, this, I'll wash your feet and let you go on. But then he goes on and far above that. And he says, oh, he says, he hurries into the tent and says to Sarah, quick, get 3 seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread. I mean, this isn't something you just whip up. I mean, we're talking, for most of us, get some bread is what? Go to the cupboard and pull out the bag, right? This is go get some flour, knead it. I mean, how long did, a couple hours worth of work, right? Yeah. I mean, to knead the flour, to bake it, to get to make sure you got the fire going and to bake this bread. And then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. I don't know much about butchering animals. Does that take, what, 5-10 minutes? Plus or minus, right? To butcher it, to cut it up, and then to prepare it, right? Because guessing we're not serving it to our strangers raw. So there's this whole process. So then Abraham goes, and he really goes overboard. But do you ever sense in anywhere in this story that Abraham's saying, oh, man, I can't believe I'm doing this. This is so horrible. He sees it as a privilege, not a burden. These visitors aren't an interruption, but an opportunity. And so he serves them, and he is incredibly generous to them. And he does this, and he shows it, this kindness and the goodness to strangers. And this story is picked up, and Jewish writers and Jewish thinkers have always said, this is the model of what hospitality looks like. The writer of Hebrews is pointing back to it and saying, sometimes we're entertaining angels, because if you read through the rest of the story and then into chapter 19, it said, well, at the end of chapter 18, when the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left and Abraham returned home. Chapter 19 starts, the two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening. In other words, it's pointing back and saying that 2 of these or 3 of these were angels again. There's this whole, how many were there? 2, 3, God. So they're moving on, but somehow they're entertaining angels. And they're making this connection and saying, this is what it's like. And so they're saying, why? One, they might be angels, but 2, hospitality is valuable because it's important to God. If you read through the scriptures, there's these constant refrains of welcome the stranger, welcome the outcast. Why? Because he reminds God's people that they were once strangers and aliens, that they were wandering through the land and they're welcomed in. And we, as believers, Book of Ephesians, you were once aliens and strangers. And so now we're welcomed in. And so what we're learning when we show hospitality is we're imitating what God is like, who welcomes us as strangers. And these strangers are image bearers. They're people who are outside. So what does it look like? What does hospitality look like in 2019 rather than in 1400 BC? I mean, who are strangers in the world that we live in? They're the outcasts, the wrongdoers, the people who are outside our comfort zone, people not like me, people we tend to exclude. And so hospitality, first of all, one of the biggest first steps in hospitality is what? Stepping outside our comfort zone, taking a bit of a risk. And so just as Abraham, it may not be quite as risky as going out a total stranger, but taking that risk to connect with someone who's different than us. And this is the other thing, is hospitality is about welcoming and valuing people for who they are. Because what do you think about this? These strangers passing through that Abraham welcomed, do you think he was ever going to get them to pay him back? I mean, sometimes we have people over for dinner. We say, oh, come on over. And sometimes there's this feeling like, well, if I have them over, what? And then they're going to have me. And it's this kind of this. But these are strangers walking through. And so I think when we think about hospitality for us, it's valuing people for who they are, not what they can do. And I think sometimes in church, there's a temptation to overlook the person and try to get them to be a part of us. So instead of hospitality to a guest, and just simply welcoming them and saying that we're glad they're here, we simply say, wow, wonder what they can do for us. You see somebody come in and they've got a bunch of kids. You think, wow, wouldn't it be great? Look at all these new kids. Look, he's got a study Bible. He must know. I bet he could teach a Sunday school class in a couple weeks. And so we see people as somebody for our benefit, as opposed to simply a stranger, someone to care for and to welcome. And Christine and I have experienced this a couple times. And I think a great highlight of what hospitality looks like. The first was Lisbeth, our oldest, was just, she was about 18 months old. And we had an opportunity to go out to California and spend a week on vacation. And we went out to Palm Springs, California. We enjoyed time there. When we visit places, we like to find churches to visit. And we went and visited. You go somewhere strange, and in those days, we flipped through the phone book and tried to figure out where we might go to church. And we found this one. So, oh, that looks like a good place to go. And we went. It was a pretty good-sized church. I mean, there were probably 300-400 people in worship that Sunday, one of a couple service that day. So it's a big church. And we stayed afterwards, and they had a welcome time. And we met somebody there, and they realized we were just passing through. I mean, they realized this pastor, who was one of the associate pastors, that we were just passing through. We were never going to be a part of their church. We were never going to give huge amounts of money to their church. We were in no way. But he took time. He talked to us. He listened to our story, why we were in California. He prayed for us. That was hospitality. He could have said, oh, well, hi. Well, where are you from? Oh, we're from Michigan. Oh, nice to meet you. And moved on. But instead took time. The other is our family, a number of times over the past few years, has gone to the Wisconsin Dells for a vacation with Christine's family, kind of doing a family reunion there. We go to the water parks and have lots of fun there. And we found a church to visit. We went to this kind of the opposite end of the spectrum. We looked and we found this Methodist church. We said, well, we should try out this church. We walked in, and at that point, Christine and I and our five children, and there were probably 30 people in the sanctuary. And so when seven people walk into a sanctuary of 30, I mean, we added 20% to the congregation on a Sunday. But again, we were welcome. People greeted us. And they found out we were just on vacation. And they didn't say, oh, well, yeah. But same sort of thing. They welcomed us. They invited us in. The kids went down to Sunday. And in fact, the next year when we came back, they remembered us. And they said, hey, it's great to see you again. Come on, you know, do you kids remember where we go for Sunday? And I think of that as pictures of hospitality. Because we weren't somebody who was ever going to contribute to their church. We were in no way going to be a part of their church. I mean, I'm sure they were excited to think, wow, look at this. All these people, and they've got Bibles with them and everything. But we were passing through. We were strangers. But they showed hospitality to us. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we okay with people just passing through? Or do we only pour into, do we only welcome the people who will think we'll somehow give back later? And so I want us to think about hospitality in two contexts. One is, we have an event coming up this Saturday, Blueberry Fun Festival, in which we expect, based on previous years, there'll probably be 1,000-plus people who will come and be here eating pancakes, bouncing in the bounce houses, running the race, shopping for crafts, scrambling for pennies in the foam, doing all those sorts of things. And so the question for us, Fruitland Covenant Church, is how will we demonstrate hospitality to them? How will we welcome them? Or will we be concerned when somebody comes and we realize they go to another church, will we simply move on? Or they're not interested? Or will we simply embrace and welcome each and every person there? And the same is true on a Sunday morning. And so in your bulletin, there's an insert, 10 things. We're going to go through those somewhat quickly. I didn't create this. I got it somewhere, and I can't find the source for it. So I just wanted you to know, this isn't my entire creation, but many of these are ideas that are written down. So first one is, be willing to walk. So we have a parking lot. And this is something I learned as a little boy. My pastor always used, growing up, always parked way at the far end of the park. I was always, why do you do that? Well, because other people are there. So I want us to think about when we're inside or when we're outside is, where do you park? Because when you're a guest at church, what time do you show up if you've never been to a church? Right on time, right? If church is at 10:30, you show up at 10:31. Which means if all the people who come to church have taken all the front parking, where are you parking at? Way out of the parking. And it doesn't feel very well. I mean, the grocery stores and Target even know this. They have these special parking spaces for expectant mothers. So let's think about, where do we park and do we allow parking spaces? Own the building. But just pay attention. We all walk through the building, and it's sometimes, I'm a sneaky pastor, okay? Yeah, I know. Sometimes I'll notice something. I'll see a piece of trash or something laying in the building or laying around, and I don't pick it up. You know why? Because I want to see how long it will sit there. I know, it's horrible. But to say, when we're going through, when we're walking through, if we see something, let's take care of it. Make people feel welcome. I mean, if there's some, or find somebody who can. If you're sitting on a bench this morning and the bench is kind of going wobbling back and forth, you could say, oh, well, there's a wobbly bench here. Or you could find somebody and say, hey, there's a wobbly bench here, and we should get that fixed. Move to the middle. This is a simple one. So when we're inside, especially our pews, here it's a little easier. There's lots of access points. When we're inside, those pews aren't easy to get in, are they? No. But sometimes we have our seat. Oh, yeah, we've got our seat. And that's my seat. And there ain't nobody going to take that seat. And I can tell you stories about, but we'll cut the stories out. Multiple stories about incidents with seats. If you're sitting at the end of the row and you see somebody coming in, don't just do this and say, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, here there's like lots of room inside. It's like tiny little space. Slide down. Make some room for people. That's hospitality. I mean, that's not a lot. Smile like you mean it. All right, the rule of three. Challenge yourself to talk only to those you don't know for the first 3 minutes after the service. That's all I'm asking, 3 minutes. And even when you look around and say, well, I know everybody, find somebody you haven't talked to in the last week. Because it's so easy, and that's a natural thing for all of us, is there are people we feel comfortable talking to. But when you're visiting, when you're a guest somewhere, you don't know anybody. And so take that first 3 minutes and look around and say, who haven't I talked to? And that's kind of the same, the circle of 10, which is number 6. Greet anyone, member, or guest who comes within 10 feet of you. Just make sure you greet people. Look for the lost look. Okay, and you can usually tell when somebody hasn't been before. Because they're kind of looking and they're trying to figure out where they sit. Maybe they're sitting there, we're standing even in worship. Okay, one more story. So during seminary, Christine was taking a class on world religions, and so one of the assignments in that class was visiting sites of worship for Blake. And so one of the places we visited was a Kingdom Hall, which is the Jehovah's Witness. I tell you what, again, we walked in, and the services are strange, but there were a lot of different things. But there was a woman who sat there who recognized and saw, we didn't know what was going on. We were looking through this book and trying to figure out what page we were supposed to be on and how to follow us. She walked over and we didn't tell her who we were or what we were doing. We were just like, oh, we're just visiting. But she walked through and she sat next to us and helped us find our place. And it's the same way in church. We do a lot of weird stuff. We're like, stand up, sit down. We start saying prayers. And if you're looking around and you see somebody who doesn't seem to be comfortable, doesn't know what they're doing, feel free to walk over and say, hey, do you need some help? Here's what we're doing. Here's what we're doing. Here's the book. Here's the page. And I mean, we did something, we often do this, and we do most of the time inside, we say, oh, well, here's the reading, and it's on page such and such. Why? Because if you are not familiar with church and you walk in and say, oh, we're going to be reading from Joshua today, and everybody starts flipping pages and you don't have any idea, you don't know where those things are. So pay attention and help those around you if they look lost. Learn people's names. And this, it's hard. But pay attention, because there is something powerful about when you come back the next week and you say, hey, Ken, it's good to see you. And hearing your own name.
That's why everybody's got those
names. But you got to learn the other people's names, not just your own name. So make the first move. You know, guests are overwhelmed. Don't forget to walk in. And so there's this, you know, ask them some questions. You know, about their family, their occupation, their recreation, motivation. One of my favorite questions is like, hey, what brings you here today? And just simple questions, or engage people in conversation. Again, Abram was willing to go out and talk to 3 total strangers who might be robbers. We're talking, hospitality takes a step outside of our comfort zone, and I recognize that. But when we do that, we may be entertaining angels. We may be, not only that, we're recognizing and embracing people who are created in the image of God. And then invite them back. Say, hey, thanks for coming. Hope to see you again next week. And so these are some simple steps we can take. And we do it because God is the God who welcomes strangers. We're going to sing a song at the end about God's reckless love, about God who went, who leaves the 99 and searches for the one who knocks down mountains and kicks down the doors to bring in those of us, all of us, who were strangers to him. And so when we're doing this, it's not just about, oh, so we can find out, like, oh, they're a really nice church. We're doing it because that's what God calls us to do, is to welcome the stranger. Because ultimately, it's not just about us welcoming the stranger. It's about introducing those people to the God who welcomes the stranger. Hospitality is a part of evangelism. It's a part of welcoming people in and saying, this is what God is like. Because now imagine that you come to church and nobody talks to you. They won't let you sit in the row. They never. And then they say, but we have this God who loves everybody and welcomes you. And they think, but, hey. And it doesn't add up, does it? But again, what we do is we imitate the nature of God who welcomes and loves and embraces us. So my prayer, my hope, my dream is that we would continue to grow in that. And I'm not preaching this saying we're terrible at this. But the reality is we can always be better. We can always be better. And we can start this Saturday as we all show up for the Blueberry Fun Festival and we welcome 1,000 people here and we show hospitality to them. Because every one of those people who comes is created in the image of God. And some of those people may be looking for something. And if they come and they experience a welcome, they may find that. They may not find it here. They may pass on. But they maybe learn that, say, hey, these people who follow Jesus are really pretty nice people. And they may find another church, and that's okay. But they found Jesus. And so may we be Jesus to people as we welcome them. May we be a people who are known as people who show hospitality. May we be the people who entertain angels in disguise. Let's pray together. Our God, we thank you that you welcomed us. That when we were lost, that when we were far away, that when we were strangers, that you welcomed us into your family. And God, we pray that you would fill us with that same love, that same grace, so that as we encounter people, as people come in to worship with us on Sunday, as people come to the Blueberry Fun Festival, as people we meet people in the stores and different places, may we be people known for our hospitality, people who welcome and embrace people, even as we have been embraced by you. So God, fill us with your love and with your grace. Through the power of your Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray.